And it is a great thank you to Sam and the team for blessing us this morning. And really good to gather around the Word of God and to talk a bit about perhaps what we're going to see later on today, and talk about the implications of what it represents and what it means for those who follow Jesus Christ. I call it, for want of a better term perhaps, the born-again identity. Apologies to Jason Bourne and whoever wrote those books, but I've borrowed it so that I can talk to you today about what it means to say yes to Jesus, what changes, and for those of us who have taken that step, what's different for you because of that step. Sometimes you might have heard it said that Christianity, in terms of if you're comparing it to other religions, is a case of done versus other religions that say do. Now, some of you would be aware that at times, in terms of some expressions of Christianity, there can be an emphasis on do. And we shouldn't ignore the fact that, of course, being a Christian is far more than just believing something or going somewhere. But it does involve a whole response of our whole body. But the key word there in that statement is the word response. It's a response to what is already done, to what has already happened. That's what I want to talk to you about as we move towards this baptisms today. Firstly, what I want to talk to you about is what it means to be in Christ. Now, sometimes the concept in Christ can be a bit elusive for us, but it's actually a phrase that the Apostle Paul uses a lot in his letters, and it does have significance. We're going to use the book of Ephesians today. You'd be aware, those of you following our Life Journal readings, that that's how we're finishing the month of January, with the book of Ephesians. And it's interesting when Paul greets the Ephesian believers by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ, introducing himself by the will of God to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I think Paul could have said the faithful of Christ Jesus or those who believe in Jesus, but instead, right at the start of this, he talks about the faithful in Christ Jesus. And he will go on in the next few verses that we're going to take a look at to explain or to expand, if you like, on the significance of being in Christ Jesus. Well, on the other part of the scripture, it refers to us as being hidden in Christ Jesus, as being almost concealed, if you like. I wonder if there are ever times in your life when you feel exposed. Are there ever times in life where you feel like, you know, you're a bit sort of isolated, or you're a bit sort of exposed, or, you know, everyone's looking at me, this isn't going so well, I'm a bit unsure of myself. And while those emotions, I'm sure, buzz around our head and enter our bodies at different times, for those who have said yes to Jesus, in some senses we are protected or immune for them, or it's just such a small story compared to the fact that you are in Christ. Now, let me work on this for a while and see if we can take somewhere in the significance of what that means. If you are part of the activity of Jesus Christ, if you are caught up inside the Lord and Saviour of all the world, then I'm working on the fact that it means you are moving along with him. Like, Jesus is not on leave, but he is going somewhere. He's on a mission and a ministry and a destiny and a destination in the world. So if you're filled with God's Spirit and you've said yes to him, then I need to let you know you're going with him. Now, you can react to that in a few different ways. You can rebel against it. You can say, well, actually, I'm tired of it and, you know, I'm struggling a bit. I'm going to take a break. But, you know, that's actually not going to work, because you're in Christ Jesus and Jesus is moving in mission and ministry in the world in the way that he's described in the scriptures. But listen, that's not just a negative for you. That's a positive, because I think at times we are tempted to say maybe something like, I cannot go on you know, I can't do this, or I'm struggling with this. And we sort of get a sense that we either are shipwrecked, or we are stumbling, or we are going to stay in this position forever. But if you are in Christ Jesus, that's not going to happen. Because Jesus holds you and will never release his grasp upon you, those who have said yes to Jesus Christ. It's, you're there. You don't have to get in. You don't have to knock at the door. You don't have to, you know, pay a membership fee or do anything. You're in Christ Jesus. You're moving with him. And Jesus is all about leading his church to the destiny and to the mission and ministry that he has planned for the world. The scriptures say that the mission of God will be accomplished. Now, you sometimes want to hear me say, well, Pastor, that's a very positive thing to say and we're really glad about that. Where have you been for the past week, or are you paying attention? But friends, I'm here to assure you on the authority of the Word of God that the mission and ministry of Jesus will be accomplished, and that those who are in Christ Jesus are moving in that direction with him. Now, Paul then goes on to say, he chose us in him, there it is again, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, there it is again. Do you feel, Christian, I'm asking you now, holy and blameless right now? How do you feel? I mean, some of you may feel really good about yourself, and that may be a way that you describe yourself. You might have woke up and said, I'm feeling holy and blameless this morning. But most of us don't. But notice here that because we're hidden in Christ, then in the sight of God, we are holy and blameless. Some of you are saying, well, that is a miracle when it applies to me. Well, join the club. Join the club. But see how now being in Christ works for you? Because when God looks at us, yes, he sees a child, he sees a son or a daughter that he loves and that he cherishes, but moreover, he sees his son, his blameless and holy son, who accepted the mission and ministry laid upon him to die for the sins of the world, and that you, by saying yes to that plan, by agreeing with God and saying, yes, I accept that that's how you are going to save the world through Jesus Christ, your son. I'm going to identify with you through a commitment. I'm going to identify with you through the waters of baptism. I'm going to identify you by gathering with your church. Then you then stand in the place of Christ, and all the benefits that Jesus has achieved apply to you in the sight of God, no matter how you feel. Dare I say, even what you do. Now, some of you think, well, that's scandalous. And you're right. We don't really deserve it, but such is the love of God. Such is the love of God. So next time you feel like you're not going to make it, or you're struggling or something like that, know this, that those who are in Christ cannot fail. You will not be let go by God, and he is moving in his mission and ministry in the world. Paul goes on, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us. Paul is saying, you have forgiveness in Christ, you have redemption, not because of who you are, anything that you've done, except that you have stood with Jesus in that place. It's by God's grace that he's lavished it upon you. He continues again, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. God saw your faith in him. Now, we can stretch our minds and start thinking, oh, Pastor, that's predestination and destiny and our fate, and how are we ever going to cover that? You're right, we won't spend a lot of time on it. But your response to him is not only, if much at all, your idea. God desired you, God wanted you, God knew that you'd be sitting in this church service hearing this message either for the first time or the 1,000th time, and God planned and desired that you would be in him, in Christ, accepting him and saying yes to him and walking in faith by him. He had you in mind before you were born and certainly before this day and this response. So God desired that you would be with him. And you see that it says that he works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Now, you know, I thought he just said everything. I thought I saw everything. Did I see everything? Because sometimes we think, Lord, well, surely you're not working in that. And surely you're not working in that person. And surely you've lost control over there, Lord. And surely my life's out of your hands. I mean, surely, Lord, you're struggling, Lord, surely. You know, I mean, we read the headlines, we see the people. But the Bible says that God works out everything to conform with his will. God is at work in the world. He's at work in you just by the fact that you're even sitting here, and he is moving you along his pathway in conformity with his will. Finally, in this section, the Apostle Paul says, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. You might have heard the phrase, and we do use it a lot, I received Jesus into my heart. I accepted Jesus. And look, it's an okay way of explaining something of what's going on when you say yes to Jesus, but notice that Paul doesn't start there. He doesn't go there first. The first thing he talks about is that when you say yes to Jesus, you walk into him. You become part of him. It's not that he comes in here, but that you stand with the destiny of the Son of God, past, present, and future. You align with him, and everything that's going to happen to Jesus, as it were, is now also going to happen to you. You are walking with him, and I can tell you, folks, his future is glorious. Sometimes we're thinking, yeah, man, he's doing all right, but what about me? Well, if you're in Christ, then you're going with him. He's not going to fail. He's moving along his destiny, and you are travelling in that direction. Not only that, but then we step into this idea where, for the times and others when we might doubt that, for the times when we might lose sight of that fact that we're in Christ, for the times when, you know, we might not know how to think about it or how to respond to it or what we should be doing with our lives, we receive the very presence of God via the Holy Spirit in our lives in order to remind us of that fact, in order to illuminate for us how we should respond and live our lives, and in order to follow that steps. And I want to suggest that the three people getting baptized today have responded to that illumination or that revelation of the Holy Spirit, have received the Holy Spirit into their hearts, and have said yes to Jesus by following in his footsteps. That's one of the ways that we do it. So we get this guarantee that literally at times lifts us up into the presence of God when we just feel like sometimes we're not sure if we're going to make it, if we're going to go on, how we're going to do it. The Holy Spirit's been given to us as a seal. And of course, in that situation, it's not referring to glad wrap, but it's referring to the old seal made in wax, where you could be sure that a particular piece of communication had come from a person who held that seal. So folks who've said yes to Jesus, the mark of God is on you. And whenever that mark is seen, as it were, including in the spiritual realm, You are identified with Jesus Christ. And folks, I want to let you know, I don't know if you know about this, Jesus rules. Wasn't that a t-shirt we had once? Jesus rules. And you stand with him and you are in the position of victory. Not to lord it over others, not to get rich, not to wave it around, not to boast, but instead to live and breathe victoriously. Because you are marked with the mark of God. You identify with Jesus Christ. And when we stand in the waters of baptism and we go down under the water, yeah, it's just seawater or pool water, depending on where we are, but you are saying, I have died, the old me is dead, that life is gone, the one ruled by the passions of the flesh is buried with Jesus. And then, by God's grace, you don't stay down there. You haven't got a snorkel, so you need to come up and rise to the new life in Christ. And that's why we do it, folks. It's symbolic, but because it's obedient, it's also powerful. It's saying, I identify with Jesus Christ by going down and being buried and by rising again and coming up. Now, let's say a few things about what it means to have Christ living in us. Paul then goes on to say, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, right in the heart of that, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So Jesus alive in us, Paul's prayer is that we will be strengthened in our inner being. Now, I don't think there's anybody here this morning who hasn't at some times in their life needed the inner strengthening of God's Holy Spirit. Like, I mean, if you have lived a life where that's not been necessary for you, I mean, come and talk to me. We'll write a book, we'll put you on television, and we can find out about your life that has been free from the need for inner strengthening. But the truth is, everyone who breathes at some stage needs inner strengthening. The promise of God is that those that accept him and say yes to him receive his Holy Spirit, and Paul, once and for all, and Jesus now, is praying that you would receive that inner strengthening. And that Christ would be alive in you through your faith in Christ Jesus in your heart. Now, sometimes we think faith, okay, I agree with these things about Jesus. I'm thinking good thoughts about God. I got them out of the Bible. But it's not just intellectual assent, even though it must involve that, but it's God alive in you. So not only are you in Christ, but God is alive in you. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it scary that God's so close. I mean, sometimes we think, there's nothing really I can hide from God, is there? You know, I mean, can we really keep secrets when he's that close? No, he can't. The good news is that God knows us well because he made us. Your weaknesses, your proclivities, your struggles, your sins are known to him. He's not unaware of them. He understands where we fail. But thankfully, his love is never ending. And he even deems to stand and live inside of those sinful creatures that we are. So friends, it's great to say yes to Jesus for a number of reasons, but one is that because he comes to dwell within us. Paul goes on to say, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's interesting that on this occasion, the apostle's praying that you would have power. Now, if I told you, brother, sister, I'm praying that you have power, The first thing you might think, oh, well, that's because he wants me to do something. that's because we've got something to do. We need power to do something. But incredibly, on this occasion, the writer wants the people to have power to understand something. That's what he wants them to have power to do. And he wants to make sure they don't miss it, because he wants them to grasp how wide and long and high and deep. Wide and long and high and deep. I mean, he could have just said how big God's love is. I think he could have. But he just wanted to say, you need to really get this. Wide, high, long and deep. Friends, you'll never ever get to the end of God's love for you. You'll never overcome it. You'll never outlast it. You'll never outrun it, and you'll never outdo it. You'll always need it, but you can always rely upon it, because it is everlasting to everlasting. So those times when we're tempted to think, you know, I think God's finished with me. You know, I think God's had it with me. You know, I think God never loved me. Oh, I think he'd prefer someone else. I think he's just busy. I think he's distracted. I don't think he's interested. I think I've done the wrong thing too much. I don't think I've got anything to offer. Just keep going with a list, folks, because none of them stand in front of the love of God. None of them overcome them. And those of us who've now been alive for longer than others, I've been alive for half a century now, and what I notice is that no matter what decisions I've made, no matter what struggles I've had, that the love of God continues to come into my situation, continues to speak into my heart, continues to encourage me to go along, it continues to encourage me to stand and declare before others the goodness of God. And I can't outlast it. I can't outdo it. I can't outsin it. I can't overcome it. It is, as Paul said, long, wide, high and deep. And that we may be filled to the measure, that means to the top, of all the fullness of God. The third thing that Ephesians wants us to understand about the born-again identity is what it means to have Christ working through us. We read in Ephesians 3 verse 20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." It sort of reminds me of a game that maybe you've played, maybe it was just me, where, you know, you had a competition with friends. Let's see who can ask for the most biggest, stupidest thing. You know, let's see what we can ask for and outdo each other, or what we can think up, you know, kind of game that you'd waste time on a Saturday afternoon when you were younger. Well, Paul tells us that you're asking in the same way that your attempt to avoid the love of God, also your asking of him will never, ever overcome or outweigh or outdo what he is able to do. You just can't out-ask God. Sometimes we're in the rut. Sometimes we're thinking, gee, I'm not sure if I can pray about that anymore. I don't know if I can come before God on that anymore. I'm not sure if God is able or still interested. The doubts and the thoughts affect our prayers. But Paul says that God's way above what we can ask for, way above what we could ever come before him with. And he also goes on to emphasise for good measure that his power is at work within us. His power is at work within us. Now, do you sometimes feel powerless? Do you sometimes feel spent? Do you sometimes feel, you know, outdone or overcome? The promise of Scripture is that the power of God is at work within you. The power of God is at work within you. And we need to accept and understand and believe that with all confidence and all encouragement, because that's what it means to be born again, to say yes to Jesus. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. For from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So Christ, we are in Christ, Christ is in us, but not just sitting there having a tea party, but the power of God is at work at you right now. The power of God is forming you, is building you, so that not just you and your individual life, but so that the people who call the Hills Christian Family Centre might experience a measure of maturity, of unity, of fellowship, of joy, of peace, that you are actually here with others for a reason. Did you know that? They're not just here to fill up the seats, or not just, others aren't here at church so you don't feel lonely, even though it certainly has that impact. But we are meant to interrelate and interconnect with each other in a way that brings glory to God. Finally, in Ephesians, it talks about God being with us in overcoming the one that attacks us, the evil one. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Don't be distracted. Don't be waylaid. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Being born again, being in Christ, means that we have the power to resist those things that would take us away from the will of God, that would take us away from his will for us in his life. So I just want to encourage you with those thoughts this morning. I just want to encourage you with the fact that we are today standing here as witnesses, if you like, see three people say yes to Jesus through the waters of baptism. And I want to invite first up Shane Johansson to come to the front, because I've asked each of them to say a few words about their faith and their baptism today. And it's just been wonderful to meet with Shane in my office. That's where we usually hang out, isn't it? Shane's on the couch and I'm on the other side. And to just talk with him about his decision to get baptised today. And Shane, I've got a couple of questions that I've asked you to think about and to answer. You can have that. Hold it nice and close. Firstly, can you tell everyone here today, Shane, why you're getting baptised?
Sure. So about 20 years ago, I became friends with a fella called Phil at high school. He and his whole family were Christian. And I hung out with him at his youth group. I went to his church and I witnessed his baptism. And but at the time, I didn't really have a solid belief in Christ. To fast forward a bit, I then went through a university education that heavily taught evolution theory. And that sort of became my mindset for quite some time. Then I met my beautiful wife, Hannah. And Hannah's side of the family are basically all Christian. And after a couple of years of being together, Hannah started going back to church and reconnecting her faith. I didn't participate in church for a while, but eventually I started to come along. And through other people's testimonies, I'm thinking of one from Andrew Lean in particular, and worship music, attending church. I was in a wrestle with the stark choice that God either is alive and who he says he is, or he's not. And I eventually decided to give my life to God and say yes to Jesus and follow him in my mid-20s. This decision didn't come with flashes of lightning, thunder, earthquakes, and nor was there probably immediate change evident. But over the years up until now, I have developed a strong sense of God's nature through his son Jesus, which has changed me a lot. I now live with a lot more compassion and empathy toward people, especially with work colleagues struggling with mental illness, as an example. Also, through having two little boys now and a beautiful wife committed to Jesus, I now place my hope and faith in God as Heavenly Father, Creator, caregiver of me, my wife, and our beautiful boys.
Fantastic. Shane, what does Jesus mean to you?
A lot. There are often times I do not feel perfect, but I am wise enough to know that life isn't about attaining perfection. For example, things that I don't feel like I've done very well in as a husband, a father, and minister of Johansson Finances. But I know that God views me and all these things through a lens, and or a filter, you might call it, and that is Jesus and his death on a cross, and all is forgiven through that act, and I thank him for that. Also, the peace that Jesus offers to me means a lot. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And whilst I do struggle to apply this in my life at times, it's just really reassuring to know that God and Jesus offers that peace.
Yeah, fantastic. Shane, is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion or to encourage people or anything like that before we wrap up today?
I just want to thank my family, and my mum's here today, and also particularly Hannah's side of the family that have encouraged me in my faith. Mm. It's been really good.
Fantastic. Mate, we're going to be praying a lot today, but I want to pray for you now that you're up here, and it just seems like a good thing to do, and just give thanks for that testimony. Father, I just thank you for what you've done in Shane's life, for the faith that's alive in his heart, Lord, and for his willingness and readiness to walk in obedience through baptism. Lord, I pray that over the next hour and the next day, week, month and year, that he is filled with a peace that is beyond what he has understood before, but beyond what he has ever felt. That joy is strong in his heart, and that he just celebrates what you've done for him as he shares it with others, as he leads his family in that. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, mate. Thanks, buddy. Now, it's my pleasure also to introduce our next couple, and I've been practicing these names for 18 months now. And you're going to be impressed with my Spanish speaking, but I would like to welcome Maria del Carmen Tirado Lagunes and Juan Carlos Valdez Garcia. How's that sounding, folks? Spanish lessons after the service, folks. If they could come to the front, that would be fantastic, and we're going to hear from them as well. Wonderful. Mary and Juan Carlos made a public commitment here at the church not long after Judy and I arrived here at the Hills Christian Family Centre at the end of 2015 by raising their hands right up the back there and saying yes to Jesus. And it's just been a pleasure to meet with them and talk with them over there. You get to... Okay, mate, that's all right. Mary's supporting us, Juan Carlos, because we're about to collapse with anxiety, aren't we? But no, not at all. But it's just been a joy to share with them and to see, you know, their journey here at the church. I know they're so dearly loved by all of you here. So, Mary, we're going to start with you. The clock is on. You hope... Who okay.
Oh, you want to start?
I tell you what, you start, because otherwise Mary will take up your time as well.
Exactly.
That's right. So Juan Carlos, oh, that's your microphone. You can step forward. If you've got some notes, you can put them up there. That's fine. Firstly, can you tell everyone here why are you getting baptized?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've been baptized. I am Catholic, so I was baptized many, many years ago, but I wasn't aware of anything, of course, because I don't know if you know, but in the Catholic Church, you are baptized at a very early stage. And as a matter of fact, I don't remember anything. So years passed, and my parents told me, you are Catholic, and you need to follow that religion. all right, so I feel good. I did that. And today, I think it is a great opportunity to reinforce that commitment. But today is really different. Today, I'm fully aware of what I'm doing and what I'm going to do. And I think it's not my decision. I will do my human part, all right? I'm going to do that bit, but I think I'm not alone. And I think Jesus is doing something that I just feel like a little piece of sand in the big ocean, and he's doing all the job, and God is doing everything for me. So the only thing I need to do is be there, open my heart and open my mind, be in body, spirit, and in mind. So that's the only thing I have to do. So I'm pretty much aware, happy to do it. And that's the reason, because today for me is to reinforce that commitment and to keep following Jesus.
That's great. Juan Carlos, what does Jesus mean to you?
He's everything. He's, I will say, he's the strong tree in my jar. He's the core of my life. To me, is a big example of feeling good to have this life, to be in this world, and Jesus is that. Is the person that I have to follow. It's something that I need to understand, because obviously, you follow Jesus with your heart, but as well, you need to think about that, and you have to. Be in mind following Jesus. So to me, Jesus is the core of my life.
Fantastic. Is there anything else you'd like to say to encourage the people before we hand over?
I just want to say thank you for listening to what I have to say. I know that I'm not perfect. I have made mistakes. I'm going to do more mistakes. But I'm not alone. I think we all are with Jesus. So thank you very much.
Good on you, mate. Beautiful. Okay, Mary, tell us now why you are being baptised today.
Why?
Nice and close.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Let me get it. Because I just have 3 minutes and I have to summarize huge here. So many of you already know, I start quickly saying, Juan Carlos said already, we were Catholic, Baptist. I've been always a follower, a fan of God. I've been a missionary, a strong Catholic. And when we were thinking to migrate into Australia, I put our lives in God's will and say, should we go or not? Because after 10 years of being married, I become pregnant. Who knows why? Well, he knows who, but we didn't understand why. So we said, do we really need to move? Maybe this is the sign not to be here. And yes, there were many things. We migrate. So we were okay. Everything should be good. And everything should be okay in Australia. And one thing behind the other has happening. I've been having the most terrible, or maybe I would say now greatest experience, because the worst bosses I've been having, and going from hell to hell. In sickness, in work experience all the time, going from cleaner to cleaning and more cleaning, and in huge pain, and always saying to God, what is happening? What do you want? Why are you doing this to us? If you put us in the right place and say, you can come in. But there was always, and I said this story to all of you, there was always a Christian knocking the door. And when we were without food, because there was one time in which we just have 1 liter of milk and nothing else in the fridge, and with a 10-month baby, and you said, how am I going to feed it? There was a Christian there. And here is today one of our friends too, Dina and Michelle. We met them when we were doing our migrant visa in Mexico, and we found them back again here. And we didn't know over there they were Christians. They're Christians. And they were one of the ones when my mom became a Christian, my half of my family is Christian, half of the other is Catholic. I judge a lot my mom, and I fight a lot. And then she came and she engaged with Dina, and they were reading the Bible and praying and all. And I'm like, you know, judging. Then, second, quick, I'm a person who is a high achiever. I high performance. I like to collect trophies and medals. And here, Dan can tell it, and Adam has been really good. So for all this path, in one of these pain things, when I ask God, what do you want? Why are you doing this? I receive a phone call for a job offer, or not job offer, invitation for an interview, and that was for E3 Learning. Who the hell knows who was E3 Learning at that time? But I said, I need to come, because it just happened minutes after. And I'm a person who used to swear a lot, too. I'm stopping swearing, too, because Michelle, Adam, Dan has always telling me that's not the way God goes. Every time you swear, someone else come in. That was hard to understand. The point is that in the interview with Dan, we end up talking about Jesus. Funny when you talk about God in an interview. I didn't know. I thought he was Catholic, actually, by the way of talking. But then, while I start working, everybody start talking at work and saying, oh, the lead group, that. And I started seeing their behavior and got my attention. And I talked to Juan Carlos, and I said, Juan Carlos, have you noticed that we've been in pebbles, and always Christians around us? This is Dan, this is Adam, I see them, I see how they talk about the church around work, and they are kind of an example to lead. Why don't we try? And I ask Dan, can you invite us to your church? But please, don't say that we are Catholic, that we're there, because I don't want to raise my hand. I just want to go, be hidden, and just listen and learn. He respects that. And he says, I just want to wait for the moment what is important and then invite you. And I said, I don't want to go in a special moment. I really want to go and see what is the real. No? And Juan Carlos, for my surprise, says, yes, let's go. Let's have a look. So we start coming, and I told you, I'm a very strong person, a strong fighter. I was not a crier, and I said, was, because Adam and Dan can witness that I haven't stopped crying since I come to this church. Really, I come, and it's just tear and tear and tear, and even talk to you today. I've been holding back. And beautiful Kath, which is part of this journey too, we engage very, very strong. And I said to her one day that she was feeling so bad, and we walked together. And I said, Kath, just don't know if I'm doing the right thing, because I can't stop crying. Every time I'm just back there singing, and tears and tears. And there is no sadness. It's just feeling relief. But I was still feeling this achievement thing, and Kath told me, don't worry, that is the Holy Spirit. You are in the right path. Just hang in there. Adam, I think that surrendered because he resigned and left us, but he has always been my strong paddle. And every struggle thing, because I've been through a lot of crisis in health and mentally and struggling about why do I have to be baptized, and if I was already, you know? And I said to them one day, and they laughed at me, that I was feeling naked. And they said, that is the problem, that she's naked in front of the church. Because it's that. Being baptized becomes open completely yourself and let everybody see, including God and Jesus, who is there. And if you see, I keep talking about God, not Jesus. The point is that he left, and he left poor Dan with all the package. And Dan become my boss. And Dan always says one word that I can say, and it's surrender yourself. God is willing and wanting you to surrender. And I couldn't even pronounce the word. Every time I said it, I was in tears, and he laughed. And I said, don't laugh, because it's hard, I can't do it. Still things happening. One day, finally, after a year of Dan having to be my poor boss, and I'm poor because I know that it's not easy to cope with me, we have a really good catch-up, isn't it, Dan? And finally, in my KPIs, we have to put look after your health. So I said, okay, because of the KPI, I'm going to go to the GPs and start looking. And guess what? The dietitian, the nurse, and the pathology, they're Christians. And they told me some things, and I just come crying, and I said, can't. And I said, and they are across the road of work, so closer I couldn't be here. And then I'm there, sit down, thanking God for all the things that he has given me, and I ask once again, what do you want from me? You are so good. You give us now, both of us have work, have partially health, both health. What? And very clear, watching at my beautiful fish tank that I have next to me, I listen the words, I want you to believe in Jesus. I want you to be baptized. But clear, it's like it was talking. And I just Skyped Dan in that minute, said, Dan, I want to be baptized. And guess what? It really have hailed. That rain, remember how poor Dan? He's pouring water and hail. And I just run to the window, and I saw the tree without any leaves, one bird standing, and the hail's coming around and not touching him. And for me, maybe for you, it doesn't mean anything, but that means Jesus was showing me that will be like that. It will be hail, it will be hard, but I will be always protecting you. Nothing will touch you. And you have to believe in Jesus. You have to surrender to him. So now, what does Jesus mean to me? I've been suffering from depression since I arrived into Australia. I've been into pills. My liver is now dying. My back is in pieces. I had an accident. I've been the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks in bed without walking. And you know what? I don't care. If I don't achieve medals, I don't care. I need to work, yes. I don't want to be the GM. I don't want to be a director. Before, it was important. Now the only thing that I want to do is go to be baptized, because for me that means to die. I'm going to bury the old Mary, the one who fight by herself. And I accept Jesus. I don't know him yet. And that's what I'm doing. Born in and start knowing him. That is what this means for me.
That's great, guys. That's fine.
Bless you. All right, that's fine. Thank you. Wow, isn't that such great testimonies that we've heard from Shane and Juan Carlos and Mary today? And God bless you, Adam Dunkley and Dan Potter, for your ministry to both of them. And it's going to be a joy to have you join us in the baptism ceremony after church, as well as Ben Muller, who's going to be with his brother-in-law, Shane Johansson, which is going to be fantastic. Thank you, Shane, as well. Folks, I don't have to probably tell you that we could listen to those all week, every year, and rejoice. So thank you for sharing that gift with us today, each of you, because it just fills our hearts with joy. We're going to pray and close our service and give thanks for what we've just heard. Lord, I thank you so much that you are the one that comes to us when at times we least expect it, or we don't know where to turn, we're struggling, and yet you, Lord, appear and speak and save and rescue and redeem. And Father, I thank you again and again and again for the faith that you've placed in Shane, the faith that you've placed in Mary, the faith that you've placed in Carlos. I thank you that again you have spoken and strengthened and secured and saved and redeemed and rescued people who desperately need your love and your direction, Lord. Father, today we commit them again to your care. We say, watch over them and bless them as they are baptized into the body of Christ. Hold them, Lord. Reveal yourself to them, Lord, and lavish your love upon them again and again and again. Thank you for their family and for their friends who are here today. May they be blessed as well. Thank you to those in this church that have encouraged them, that have spoken to them, that have prayed for them, have accompanied them, invited them, Lord, and led them into this place. And Lord, moreover, thank you for the faith that you've given us here today. Father, I want to pray especially for those who might be still thinking about being baptized, or those who haven't yet said yes to you. Father, I pray that they might have been inspired today, that they might have heard from you today, and Lord, that they would not leave their commitment a moment longer, that today they would do something about it in the same way that Shane, Mary and Carlos are doing, that they would say yes to you, Lord, and would begin walking towards their baptism, and that they would meet you in a way that you are just waiting to reveal yourself to them. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to invite